I'm Clay Pigeon. Welcome to the Wake and Bake Morning Show podcast. It's a weekly digest of some of the segments and moments that make up the Wake and Bake Morning Show on WFMU. Of course, you can listen live to Wake and Bake Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern on WFMU.org. Join me live every morning for the full show. It includes great music, chair throwing, pixie dust, and all-around good vibes.
Oh my God, the man is a maniac.
You can also hear the full show on streaming archives at WFMU.org/playlists/WA. You've been working for years, and you ain't got nothing to show for it.
You never made any dough from it, and the years have passed you by. So, man, if you're able,
and you're not too cynical,
the horse in the stable
shakes his mane, he shakes his mane, shakes his mane.
Yes.
He's shaking his mane.
He is shaking that mane.
Is it a sign of something?
It sure is.
Pray tell me what.
You slipped into the English accent.
Well, I dare say that I...
You dare say, do you?
I dare say that I...
You dare say, do you?
Do I dare say I do? Love you. Well, there I go again.
The Chevy's fin.
Yeah. Slices the air.
It sliced the air many years ago, the Chevy's fin.
The Chevy's fin, warm in the late spring sun. The Chevy's fin. And a light coat of gravel dust from those dusty hills. He is from the dusty hills. He's got a pocket full of pills
and a Pontiac Sunbird.
Me and Mary were headed for the mountain. We're gonna live our lives so high.
Sunbird, windows gleaming, your tears streaming down your lovely face. Sunbird smoking, no one joking now. Long faces standing by the side of the road. Sunbird dying, I am safely. Lord, I'm in the gas station commode. Powdered cinnamon donut and a Mr. Pibb.
Whatever happened to Mr. Pibb? Not as good as Dr. Pepper. It's kind of watered down.
Sparks, thank God it's not Christmas. Maybe you're thinking that. Glad it's not quite here anyway. I've still got some things to do, that's for sure. And I feel the stress and the guilt and the shame, the deep guilt and the shame of all the things you haven't done, the gifts you haven't bought, the people that you forgot about. And you forgot about until, how could you forget? Aunt Helen, are you stressed out? You need your pixie dust. It's been a while. This is for calming effect, just to help you center yourself, find a little peace today. Center and focus on the love in the world. There's a lot of it out there. There really is. Here you go, Glistener. Boys, if you would swing the spotlight around. Now shine it brightly on one very special town in our listening audience. Our civic showcase today focuses upon Rutherford, New Jersey.
Rutherford is in Bergen County, New Jersey. Population 18,061, and it's shrinking. Rutherford is named for John Rutherford, a U.S. Senator.
You know me well, and know I can get the job done. Rutherford. I'm John Rutherford, and I approve this message.
Rutherford is sometimes called the borough of trees.
This oak tree is said to be more than 250 years old and is considered pure evil.
The Lenape Native Americans were the original settlers of the Rutherford area on a ridge above the New Jersey Meadowlands. Eventually, along came the first settler, a Dutchman, Walling Van Winkle, in 1687.
Van Winkle.
Part of the region was known as Boiling Springs for a powerful spring located right in the area. The Erie Railroad came to Boiling Springs near Rutherford in 1842. Guests would disembark from there for various resorts along the Passaic. The post office opened a facility called Rutherford in 1876. Around 1881, there were maybe 1,000 people in Rutherford.
Rutherford.
The Rivoli Theater came to town in 1922, a vaudeville house. It quickly became a movie palace.
Come out and shake it, you dirty yellow-bellied rat, or I'll give it to you through the door.
On January 9th of 77, the Rivoli was severely damaged in a fire. Well, the community worked together, and in 1981, the William Carlos Williams Center for the Performing Arts was opened. Of course, the Rutherford Community Band, founded in 1941, performed some free concerts throughout the year. Famous people from Rutherford include former professional wrestler Crowbar. And Kate Pearson of the B-52s from Rutherford. Here at WFMU, we're proud to serve you, Rutherford. We hope you're listening. Come on in, let's talk about aliens. George is kind of an expert in these things. He loves space. He's very smart when it comes to science. Hey, George.
Hello.
Now, I know you've been following the story about the UFO research, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Kirsten's really into it. My wife, Kirsten, she says the government's hiding something from us, George, that they know things they're not telling us. Do you think it goes that far?
Well, they would hide it. I think it's one of those things where it's too delicate to let go if it was something that was really there. So it's, yeah. So
what's going on, George?
Well, so the story goes, there was a pilot, actually a two-pilot team crew in an F-18 off the USS Nimitz, which is one of the aircraft carriers we have out there in the Pacific. They're about 100 miles out into the Pacific at 80,000 feet. So they were, these are some serious pilots. This isn't just some guys hanging around. This goes back to 2004 this happened. And they detected some object. They don't know what it was. And they took video of it. There's actually video online on New York Times and a bunch of other places. But they described it as an advanced aviation threat, basically. And it's one of the reasons why this new story that's come out that the Pentagon has spent a number of you know, funds, a lot of funds, $22 million, I think.
And Harry Reid was behind this, right?
Yeah, they after this event occurred, they said, we got to figure out what this thing is. And I guess their idea was, let's see if it's some, you know, some technology from some competitor, some Russian technology or some Chinese technology. That's what they wanted to find out. But the quote from the pilot who saw this says, it accelerated like nothing I've ever seen.
Right.
And his quote was, I have no idea what I saw.
Right. And I heard something about the movements of it would cause gravitational pull that would kill any human being.
Erratic movement. It went from 80,000 feet and it dropped down to 20,000 feet and it went back up again, according to the video and according to the pilot. So this is definitely an unidentified flying object. It's an object that's flying, and they don't know what it is, so who knows where it's from.
And it's being kind of politicized now, as everything is. Like, it's a boondoggle, a waste of money. Harry was padding the coffers of a friend of his. Mm-hmm. And
that's what they're saying. But when you look at the document and you look at the story, it's something that should be investigated, I think.
The truth is out there.
Ooh, yeah, it is.
One of our listeners, Paul in Bloomfield, said aliens might well be real. However, given the fact that a civilization like ours is only about 150,000 years old and that an alien civilization would be just as old, and given the fact that the universe is billions of years old, the chances of their 150,000 years and our 150,000 years coinciding is just, well, astronomical. And then he attributed that thought to Carl Sagan.
Dr. Carl. Yeah. What would we do? What would we have done without him? Yeah, I agree with Paul. I actually do. And if you think about the time it would take to travel from the nearest star system, you know, 200 light years is where they're saying that these exoplanets are, the closest one that seems like it could inhabit life. 200 light years, that's a long distance. That is not just driving down to the store. That's
is there something in us, George? Is there something inherent inside us that everything is so pragmatic and cut and dried that we need to believe in these things?
Maybe.
Like Bigfoot and Chupacabra and something magic.
I think so.
Something magic,
I think so.
George.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it.
They tell us it's all just cut and dry.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's as simple as that. We just need magic.
Last week we talked about the Maccabees, who kept their menorah burning for 8 days with a single tin of oil, giving us both Hanukkah and the word macabre.
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 Today I thought we'd take a look at the Christian traditions for the holiday season.
Aww.
The colorful sweaters and flashing lights and aluminum trees. That's right, our word of the week is tacky. The word tacky seems to have originated in the southern United States in the late 19th century, and initially was a term used by the gentry for the nouveau riche, or people who earned their wealth rather than inheriting it, and as such weren't protected by the sheltering branches of a noble family tree.
Pardon me, would you have any gray poupon?
Tacky. The word may have derived from tainted, and was initially used as a noun, that is, the tackies.
Hey, get out of there! Doc, no!
Oh, don't worry about it, Clark. Little tree water ain't gonna hurt him. Before we left, he drank a half a quart of Penn's oil. Boy, when he lifted his leg the next morning.
The word tackies also came, more pointedly, to refer to inferior Creole horses in Louisiana. Then, later, any horse that was weak or in poor health.
That horse better win. We're taking a trip to the glue factory.
From there, it was just a short hop to calling any uneducated slob a tacky. Soon, the spelling changed from T-A-C-K-I-E to T-A-C-K-Y, and the word was being used to refer to something deemed to be in poor taste.
If you go to the family reunion to meet women, you might be a redneck.
Tackiness can also refer to the adhesive quality of paste or glue, a word that seems to come from stickiness.
Vos belles bottines, vos beaux bijoux, modèles réduits, jouets d'enfants, vos poignées de porte, vos lampes de poche, les garnitures sur votre auto, procurez-vous la colle Crazy Glue 2 en crayon ou en tube en vente partout.
And in the 1960s, ticky-tacky was a term for a cheap box or anything made from shoddy material.
There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one and they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same.
So keep in mind as you're wrapping your Christmas sweaters and ticky-tacky boxes this week that hillbillies and Creole horses are the real reasons for the season. Back to you, Clay.
Anybody there? Wake and bake.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, who's this?
This is Al.
Al?
I'm in Long Island City.
Right. Oh, you're in Long Island City. Now, that's a happening place now, Al. Can you feel the energy in Long Island City?
I don't know. So-so. I'm actually just out here selling Christmas trees.
You're selling Christmas trees? It's not really where you live. It's a temporary place where you are?
No, I was living in Brooklyn before, and I tried to get out of New York, but then someone called me back, and here I am selling these trees.
Right. Is it something you do every year, selling the Christmas trees?
This is first and possibly last time. I'm not sure.
Right. Now, you say possibly last. Has it been less than lucrative for you?
That's what we're going to find out. You know, they don't really tell us what's going on with that.
Right.
The job.
Do you buy a certain amount of trees? How does it work?
They kind of come in the middle of the night and drop off a couple hundred trees, and you sign a paper, and then they leave, and you got to sell them all.
Right.
You
it's all about signing that paper. Does it make you kind of nervous?
Oh, a little bit. I don't really know December 25th what's going to happen.
Right, right. Does it smell good when they drop them off? It must smell great.
Oh, it's amazing. People come by, they take pictures. It's a wonderful time.
Are you generally someone who's excited by the holidays? Are you in the spirit?
You know, I don't know what side of the war on Christmas I'm really on, but I do like the feeling.
Right, right, right. And when people buy a tree, do you see the light come into their eyes? Does that get them in the spirit?
You know, it's 50-50. Some of them, I feel like it's a task. They have their family, and they're stressed out from their jobs. But other people, yeah, they definitely are really excited for this time of year. So
right.
I like being a part of that.
And where are the trees coming from?
Well, we got some North Carolina Fraser firs. We got those Canadian balsam.
Right.
You know, that's what we got this year.
Do you have your own tree at home?
Oh, I don't even have a home. We're living in a van right now and kind of been on the road for a couple of years.
Who's we?
Oh, I'm with my girlfriend Amanda. We actually met you one time outside your movie premiere.
Oh, wow!
Last year at some IFC or something, I can't remember.
Right, right. So you're living in a van, right?
Well, sort of. I mean, it's a long story. We've kind of just been working different jobs all over the country. We're in a van now, but we're about to get out and get an apartment somewhere else.
Does the love you share with each other make it work out and make it worth it?
I mean, she's laughing in the background right now. Yeah, I don't know. It's sort of corny, but we have fun, you know? We've been side by side working 24 hours a day for 3 months, and we're still doing all right. So.
I'm glad you checked in. What's your holiday message to all our listeners today on Wake and Bake?
Oh, I don't know. Keep on keeping on and enjoy the tracks that Clay is laying down.
Could you get Amanda to just yell out Happy Holidays there in the background?
Yell it out.
Happy holidays!
Thanks for listening, you guys. Good luck with the tree sales.
All right, yeah, have a good one.
Thanks for calling. There they go. Selling Christmas trees. Taking a chance on it. In Long Island City, if you see them, get a tree. I can smell them in my mind, that sap. There's nothing like that smell, is there? Fantastic. Thank you.
Now here's station manager Ken with your Hump Day Hazmat Report.
Thank you, Clay Pigeon. Peterhead, Australia. A meth lab has exploded, destroying one home and endangering the life of a 10-year-old boy. The boy and his parents were evacuated safely, and the parents were charged with their role in operating the clandestine death factory. Bagley, Michigan. A killer icicle ruptured a copper line delivering heating oil to a Bagley home, causing an oil spill on North Otsego Lake Road. New York, New York. A doorman who was melting snow prompted a hazmat response that lasted over 3 hours. Engine 44 arrived on the scene and found that the sidewalk was boiling, hitting over 220 degrees. The salt can, over 360 degrees. Toxic salt vapor wafted down Fifth Avenue. Palestine, Texas. A chicken truck crashed on US 79, reducing traffic to one lane and scattering 3,000 of the panicky birds all over the roadway. Sausalito, California, the Coast Guard says the winds in Richardson Bay kicked up high waves, sinking one boat and spilling thousands of gallons of fuel oil into the bay.
Hold it, station manager Ken. That's the buzzer. You can't do anymore. We'll have to go to the audience now and see if they want a bonus hazmat disaster. Today, audience, how you feeling? It looks like they want it.
Columbus, Georgia. Drugs have been brought into Columbus Public Safety Building, causing a lockdown of the entire facility.
Drugs in Columbus, Georgia. There you have it. Your hazmat report for today. Exploding meth labs, falling icicles, and turkey gas in there. It's all real. They're watching us, man. In that cigar-shaped... That cigar-shaped thing. It's coming straight at us. It's taking pictures. Here's a young fella who'll weigh in with his introspective infrastructure. His name's Gabe Cohen. He's got a lot to say about aliens in this part of the country. Listen up.
Wednesday, October 10th, 2010, Manhattan's 311 helpline received a torrent of calls regarding the appearance of a number of shimmering objects floating high above the intersection of 23rd and 8th Avenue.
There is something up there, and there's been a crowd of people at the corner of 8th and 23rd Street trying to figure out exactly what it is.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night.
Both vehicular and pedestrian traffic ground to a halt as people stopped to look upwards.
Our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world.
Despite investigations mounted by both the NYPD and the FAA, there seems to be no clear answer to as what thousands of people saw that day.
A New York witness at Saranac Lake reported watching a sphere-shaped UFO move overhead the size of a football stadium.
Only days ago, the Department of Defense released two videos from its recently declassified Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, which purport to show near encounters with unidentified aerial vehicles, which maneuver in ways considered impossible under classical physics.
It was kept a secret, and nobody even knew that the program existed, and in fact, lots of people in the Pentagon don't even know it exists. So it's barely been kept quiet because the information is very, very sensitive.
For WFMU, this is Gabriel Cohen.
Interesting observations about the topics of interest to us today.
It's Quick Takes with Fabio. Fabio, what do you think of these selfie sticks?
Selfie sticks. We're living in a very, very peculiar time when it's not enough to just take a photo of yourself and show it to the world because you're the most important person on earth. We live in an exceptionally narcissistic time, so the selfie stick comes in and you can take a photo of yourself with more people around and more surroundings so people all over the world can see how special you are.
Yes.
A selfie stick. What an abomination that is. The ultimate gadget for narcissistic behavior.
Narcissus was a handsome guy wandering the world in search of someone to love. After rejecting a nymph named Echo, he caught a glimpse of his own reflection in a river and fell in love with it. Unable to tear himself away, Narcissus drowned.
It's horrible. Selfie, selfie, selfie.
The Free Music Archive pick of the week this week is called Beat Beat by Beaks. The song was brought to the Free Music Archive on a compilation called Necroscopics, 1970 to 1981, which features bands from the Richmond, Virginia area and surrounding towns and cities.
Come to where the flavor is. Come to Marlboro Country.
Beat Beat is a great slice of female-fronted post-punk infused with a catchy pop melody that was released in 1979.
It is a crisis of confidence that strikes at the very heart and soul and spirit of our national will.
It found new life in YOY with Andrea Salenzi as a theme song. The entire compilation is worth a listen, and it's available for free streaming or download at freemusicarchive.org. So, without further ado, here's Beat Beat by Beaks.
My heart is beating, beating like an o'clock. My heart is beating, you can hear it talk. Beat beat, beat beat. My heart goes beat beat beat. Beat beat, beat beat. My heart goes beat beat beat. You answer my thoughts. My heart beats a little faster. True love at such a cost. A cardiac.
Let's do Today in History. We are running out of time. So much good Christmas and holiday goodwill flying around in the air.
I love you guys. 1620, really, there's the whole shebang began over here in the Plymouth Colony. William Bradford and the Mayflower Pilgrims land on what is now known as Plymouth Rock in Plymouth, Mass. Now, wasn't it actually like 20 miles north of there or something? It wasn't exactly that rock. It's more ceremonial. 1919, American anarchist Emma Goldman is deported to Russia. 1959, it snowed in New York. Oh, did it snow in 1959, December 21st, 13.7 inches. 1989, Dan Quayle sends out 30,000 Christmas cards with the word beacon spelled B-E-A-K-O-N. How about those potatoes? 2012, scientists studying the Sutter's Mill meteorite found near where the Sutter's Mill, California Gold Rush site is determined it contains the oldest material in the solar system. There's a fruitcake floating around out there that's just about that old. 3 minutes in front of nine now. George, get in here. We're running out of time. George, births Benedict Arnold, 1615. Phil Donahue, 1935. Jane Fonda, 1937. Frank Zappa, happy birthday today. Carl Wilson from the Beach Boys, we remember you, baby. Ray Romano, funny man, born this day in 1957. And Kiefer Sutherland, Kiefer's birthday. Wah, wah, wah. That's it for me, Clay Pigeon. I'm out of here for a week. Kirsten and I are heading for Davenport, Dubuque, Fenimore, Wisconsin, all over the place down there. It's going to be a lot of fun. You guys have a great holiday, okay? Happy holidays, my friends.
London early in the morning, ere will the cock crows, then I will be rising down with me porridge. Me chutney's in storage, 'tis a 92-mile voyage to foggy London town. Down through the glen and e'er across the glade, where the wafts come from the kitchen, where the shepherd's pie is made. Roger, the third Earl of Kent, had a sixpence in his pants, and he clicked his heels and danced, and he nursed his pint. Lark in the hillow, the grey hair on my pillow, I pass harsh judgment on the mildew, which is clinging to the grout. The world in a tither, fetch my cigar smithers, and water my chrysanthemum, for God's sake, before it withers, smithers. The Queen is by now resting upon the royal sheets. She'll be woken up at 1 a.m. and offered pies and sweets, hot cross buns, onions, American funions, bugles, bacon thins. Some of you don't remember bacon thins. You only know wheat 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 thins.
You've been listening to the Wake and Bake Morning Show podcast. Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Good. It's a weekly digest of the special features and moments which make up the Wake and Bake Morning Show.
Woo!
After all, you wouldn't want to miss special moments like this. Tuck a
Ah, you're in a good mood today, aren't you?
Oh!
The Wake and Bake Morning Show. Set your alarm and join us each Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. on WFMU.org. A little too early for you? Catch the archive show, which you can find easily on WFMU's homepage each day. I'm Clay Pigeon. They call me the Pigeon. Join me each morning for the full show, either on the radio or online at WFMU.org. And keep glistening.